Man, thank you so much for that, Tim. I appreciate that. I think we can never come to comprehend the wonderful love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It goes beyond our understanding that He would love such as we are. James chapter 2, we're going to start there this morning. Consider the topic, righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. James chapter 2 and verse 23. Just going to read one verse. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Let's pray together. Lord, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for so many good things. Lord, it's been a busy week, and it looks like the week to come will be equally as busy, and that's a good thing. We're busy serving you, but Lord, sometimes our thoughts and our hearts get overwhelmed with business and responsibilities and things, and Lord, help us to, with your Holy Spirit, set those things aside for the next little bit as we look at your word, and that you would use it in our hearts and lives, and help us to understand. Help us, Lord, if we're already saved, to understand that our salvation is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by faith. And Lord, if there are those here this morning who've never trusted Christ as their Savior, help them to understand that righteousness only comes by faith. We'll give you the praise for what you accomplish now in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I think I'm allergic to Christmas perfume here on the front row. I didn't mention from your folks this morning, but I got a wonderful note from her dad thanking the church for all of your friendliness and for all the fellowship that they had while they were here, and they were just a joy to have with us. I'm going to fire her, and I'm going to hire Mark. He's a lot more fun to be around. But I appreciate they got home safely, and but righteousness by faith. Sometimes Bible words, we use them and we don't stop to think of what they really mean. Righteousness is very simply the condition of being acceptable to God. The condition of being acceptable to God. Now, as we begin this, we have to understand that without Jesus Christ, without trusting Him by faith as our personal Savior, we are not acceptable to God. There's two reasons for that. The first reason is that we are sinners by birth. The Bible says in Romans 4, as in Adam all die, that through Adam we all became sinners. We know if we go back to the book of Genesis, we understand that there in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve sinned. God said you can eat of any tree of the fruit of the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Satan came and said, thou shalt not surely die. Satan always lies. And they disobeyed God. They took of the fruit. They became sinners, and that day they died spiritually. And that day they began to die physically. Because we are all descendants of Adam, we are all born with a sin nature. And we have to understand that that is our first and basic problem. We can be the best kind of person. We can be the best kind of neighbor and friend. We can be honest and upright. We can give money to charities. We can do all those good things, but understand we are still sinners by birth. Babies are born sinners. Sarah's coming up this week and bringing Levi. Looking forward to that. But you know what? He's a sinner. Babies, they... Do you know what? Babies lie to you. Do you ever notice that? They do. They'll lie to you and start squalling to make you think there's something seriously wrong with them when all they want you to do is pick them up. They'll squall like their diaper's just loaded, or they'll squall like they got a big old belly ache or something's wrong, and you pick them up and they stop. I think they've got a button in their back. You lay them down, they start. Pick them up, they stop. They're lying to you. You know, you don't have to teach children to lie. I don't know about your children. My children have told lies. I did not set them down when they were 2 years of age. Could communicate with them well. Set them down and say, Jason, today I'm going to teach you how to lie. I'm going to teach you how to not tell the truth. I'm going to teach you how to tell half-truths. I'm going to teach you how to be deceived. You don't have to do that. Why, they're sinners by birth. We all are sinners by birth. Because we're sinners by birth, we are not acceptable to God by our very nature being born a sinner. But also, we have a second problem. We're sinners by choice. Over in Romans chapter 6, go over there just a minute with me. Look what Paul says about this. Paul had a struggle. Romans chapter 7. Look what he says. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, would we admit that? Paul, one of the most godly men that ever lived, said, I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that which I would, that I do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And he goes on. Verse 24, O wretched man that I am. We are sinners by choice. We choose to sin. We have through our lives make it, because sin is always a choice. Sin is not an accident. Sin is not something that just happened. You know, we don't fall into sin. We walk into sin while choosing to sin. We are sinners by choice. And we choose to be dishonest. We choose to tell a lie. We choose to have a bad attitude. It's a choice. And we all here, every one of us, have made that bad choice and chosen to sin. We are sinners by birth. We are sinners by choice. Because of that, we are not acceptable to God. God set a high and holy standard. And because we are tainted with sin at birth, because we sin by choice, that we can never live up to the standard that God has. We're sinners by birth and sinners by choice. So then how do we become acceptable to God? If we by our very nature are sinners, if we by our choice are sinners, how can we become acceptable to God? We're going to start with a positive and then look at a couple of negatives. Here in James chapter 3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Imputed means put to his account. Abraham believed. By faith, he believed in God. By faith, he put his faith and trust in God. And it was imputed on him for righteousness, to make him acceptable to God. And he was called the friend of God. There are very few people that God has given a special title to in the Bible. Abraham is one of them, the friend of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. He's talking about the difference between the Jew and the Gentile. He says that righteousness, which is of God by faith, is available to all. There's a condition to all that believe. It's not all that do these certain works. It's not all that have this certain religion. It's not all that claim this certain title or this certain practice. But again, all that believe. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, Paul says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You see, by faith we become righteous before God. God gives us the faith to become righteous, to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, so that we might be righteous before him. The righteousness which is of God by faith. One more verse, Galatians 5:5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. Romans chapter 10, go back there just a minute if you would with me, please. Romans chapter 10. We talk about righteousness by faith. Romans chapter 10. These are verses that I've used many, many times talking to individuals about salvation. Verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, notice what it says. For with the heart man believeth, faith, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now Paul builds a case, starting in verse 14. How shall they call on them? How then shall they call on them in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, notice what it says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, we can have the faith to place our trust in Jesus Christ because we have been instructed, we hear the word of God. Faith, it's not that we have an emotional feeling. It's not that we have an experience. It's that we hear and understand and obey the word of God. I was reading, many of you remember Jimmy Carter, who was president of the United States back in the 70s. And I read one time Jimmy Carter's salvation testimony. And I was confused. Because he said, I was walking in the woods, something I'm paraphrasing, of course. I was walking in the woods one day and walking, and this great feeling overwhelmed me. And that was pretty much it. I think a limb fell on him. That's not salvation in Jesus Christ. Salvation in Jesus Christ is not a feeling that comes over you. It's not an experience you might have. But it's coming to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Coming to have a mental understanding of those verses, a spiritual understanding, and then saying, those apply to me. And by faith, I'm going to place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. The righteousness by faith. We're made acceptable to God by faith. righteousness, the condition of being acceptable to God. We just consider three negatives. First, we understand that religion will not make you righteous. Religion will not make you righteous. Matthew 5 and verse 20, Christ saying there in the Sermon on the Mount, that he says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." That's a pretty high standard. Unless your righteousness can exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Religion will not make you righteous. The scribes, of course, had an intimate knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. By the very nature of the scribes, they were copyists. They would take and meticulously, word after word, checking them, making sure every word, as Christ says, every jot and every tittle was correct. The jot is the smallest letter, the tittle the smallest part of a letter. Everything was correct. They became so intimately aware of the scriptures, they not only became scribes, but they became lawyers. They would be called upon to use the scripture to be able to judge between right and wrong. But for the most part, they were not saved. Then he goes on and talks about the Pharisees. We've heard about those. You know, they called them whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. The Pharisees had strict religious practices. They loved to pray in public. They would go and stand on the street corner. And as Christ says, for pretense, make long prayers. What is a pretense? Pretense is an alleged reason to pretend something. Make long prayers. I think of Sir Wilfrid Grenfell. I love reading his books. I read everything I found that I could read on him. He tells when he was a medical student, and by his own account, he was a poor medical student in London, that D.L. Moody came there for a meeting, had a tent meeting in London. He was out with a bunch of other rabble just going out, and they heard that the tent meeting was going on, so they thought they would go in there and cause a little bit of havoc. Well, they got in there, and when they got in there, this one dear brother was standing up and praying, and praying, and praying, and praying, and praying. And finally, after a while, D.L. Moody gets up and says, "Well, while our brother finishes praying, take your hymn books and we'll turn to..." And the other Grenfell said, I knew I liked that man. By pretense, make long prayer. Did you ever hear somebody pray? And I know we shouldn't judge, okay? I understand that. But you think as they're praying, are they talking to God or trying to impress me? That's what the Pharisees did. They got on the street corner so everybody could see them. The loud voice, everybody passing by. They prayed, so everybody said, "Oh, aren't they spiritual? Oh, listen to how he prayed. Listen to how many of the prophets he knows and can quote in his prayer." But not only did they, for pretense, make long prayer, they gave alms in public. Some of them went so far, Christ said, is that when they went to give somebody, and there were a lot of people, there wasn't a welfare system in those days, of course, but when they went to give somebody a gift, because there were a lot of beggars and they depended on people regularly giving them gifts to survive, some of them went so far as to have somebody there blow a trumpet to call attention to them when they put those alms in the basket. You thought, how much attention do you really need? They were meticulous. They tithed the smallest spices. Kept the law, 613 commands, meticulously. But you know what? The religious crowd came under the greatest condemnation by Christ when he walked this earth. It wasn't the sinners. It was those that thought they could make themselves righteous by religion. Also, we know that not only will religion not make you righteous, but works will not make you righteous. Romans 10, verse 3 says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Establish their own righteousness. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know this. Our works can't make us ready for heaven. Our own righteousness. We like to think that we're pretty good. We like to think, and we always like to find somebody to measure ourselves against. And say, you know what? I'm a whole lot better off than he or she is. After all, I don't do this, and I don't do this. Isn't that what the Pharisees said about the publican when they went down to pray in the temple? He said, "I'm glad I'm not like this publican. I do all these good things, and he's a dirty, rotten scumbag." That's in the Greek, thank you. No, not really. You see, we are proud of our righteousness. We can become proud of our good works. We're a good citizen. We're a good family member. We're involved in civic activities. We work hard. We're profitable to the boss. We're involved in charitable activities. All these good things that we do. We come to church on a regular basis. We know the hymns. We sing the hymns. We do all these things that we do. But see, the thing is, and I've posed this question, I don't know how many people. If we can do enough good, that God can say, you know what? His good outweighs his bad, so therefore I'm going to let him in heaven. Now, by the way, most of us, maybe say all of us, our good does not outweigh our bad. Our bad will outweigh our good every time. But say that God did use a measuring scale like that, and say that we could do enough good to outweigh the bad things that we did. If that was the case, then why did Jesus Christ have to come and die on the cross? If we could be good enough to get to heaven, it was a waste. He didn't have to come. He didn't have to live here for 33 years. He didn't have to be mocked and abused and beaten, his beard ripped from his face and spit upon. He didn't have to go out to Golgotha and there die on the cross, because we could be good enough. But we can't be. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. Not by works. Now let me say this, that as a saved individual, we should be doing works of righteousness. That should be a part of our lives. Well, we mentioned this in Sunday school. People should see a righteous life. People should see us by the way we talk, by the things we do, by the way we dress. They should see all those things. They should see and look and say, you know, this individual is a Christian. Tim talked about meeting a fellow believer on his trip to Greece. And I don't know how that happened, but many times I've seen individuals and I've looked at them and the first thought that came to my mind, they must be saved. Because of the way they carry themselves, because of their attitude. You watch them, observe them for a few minutes, and you know there's something different about that individual. But I wonder, do people say that about us? People see us in the grocery store and say there's something different about us. Works won't make you righteous, but righteousness should be seen in our works. One last thought, the law will not make you righteous. Paul writes of this, of course, Galatians 2:21. He says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him, in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, following the commandments." It's much like our first thought, religion. Following the commandments. First of all, you cannot perfectly follow the commandments. Even the Ten Commandments, not counting the others. Even the Ten Commandments, we can't perfectly follow them. We will always fall short. So, there's no righteousness to be had for us in the law. Because the law was put there for a couple of things. The law was there to show that God had a high and holy standard. The law was there to show that we could not live up to that standard. And Galatians says the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. To show us we need Jesus Christ as a Savior. That the law cannot save us. It was never intended to save us. It was intended to show us we needed to be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. This is very clearly, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You notice in this verse, simple verse, it doesn't say anything about works. It doesn't say anything about religion. It says the heart and the mouth. The heart and the mouth. For the heart man believeth. I don't have to tell you this, I was to the auction this week. I like to go to the auction. But I got a chance to talk to the auctioneer. I went back after the wedding yesterday to check. I'd put in a bid on something to see if I got it or not. And got to talking to him. And he was raised Salvation Army, but then now he goes to Anglican Church. And he gets give me the line that so many, well, it doesn't really matter what church you go to. I said, you know what? That's true. I said, what matters is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's, you know, we have to understand, we have to bring it down to that. It's not by religion. It's not by works. It's not by the law. It's by a personal relationship in Jesus Christ. To be righteous is to be acceptable to a holy God. If I go out and try to establish my own righteousness, I will fall short. If I try to be righteous through religion, I will fall short. If I try to be righteous through my works, I will fall short. If I try to be righteous through the law, I will fall short. Because it's only by faith in Jesus Christ, faith in the finished work of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior, asking him to forgive my sins. You know, Vacation Bible School, a couple times in my class, I went through it very clearly with it. I said, listen, you need to be saved. To be saved is asking Jesus to forgive your sins. Asking Jesus to come into your heart and save you. I went through it as simply as I could with children. But you know, the Bible says we all need to become like little children if we're going to be saved. Religion, works, and law can never make you righteous. Why? Because they only involve what you do, not what you are. Because we can be the most religious, have the best works, be meticulous about keeping the law, and we're still a sinner by birth and still a sinner by choice. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?